Welcome to the Beyond Affairs podcast. We are affair recovery specialists, Anne and Brian Burcht. For the past 20 plus years, we have dedicated our lives to helping couples and individuals just like you heal from marital betrayal. In addition to private intensives, we run weekend intensive experiences for groups, including Healing from Affairs, Take Your Life Back, and Man of Honor. We're also the authors of the book, My Husband's Affair Became the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me. While we're Christians and all our materials are biblically based, you'll feel comfortable and get help no matter what you believe. Our website is beyondaffairs.com. And now, here's your host, Anne Burcht. Well, welcome everybody to our podcast this week, and we've got Christmas coming up on Monday, and for those of us that celebrate Christmas Eve, it's Sunday, and so both Brian and I are here, and what we know is that facing the holidays when you're dealing with an affair can be one of the toughest things to go through, and so since that's right around the corner, we want to give you a little hope, a few tips for how to get through all of that. So any words you want to say in just a...
Yeah, sure. Welcome to be on the, I'll listen to the podcast, and thank you for giving up some of your time to be able to listen to this, because we know this, you know, and that just indicates to us that this is an important aspect of your life. Do you want to get some direction, some healing, and to be able to move on from this as best you can. So we hope that the things we get to share with you today from our own experience, and then from having done this work for the last 20 years, we'll be able to give you some hope and some strategies on how to be able to move forward to make the best of this time, because it is, as Anne said, very difficult. And certainly if it's your very first Christmas dealing with the betrayal, whether it's yours or your spouse's, it's always very difficult, and one that can cause a lot of, you know, triggers a lot of feelings and emotions that sometimes get left unchecked. And so we'll just kind of give you some things that we can talk a little bit about that to help offset some of the struggles that you may be facing. So, and I'm excited to be able to do this with Anne, and I'll just, you know, want to share just the other day, I happened to have a friend that we know, an acquaintance, over, and we were just talking, and there was a picture, they hadn't read our book. So, I was just, you know, I was opening it up and flipping through it. And of course as a man, he gets to go right to the important part, which is all the pictures that we have in our book. As he's looking through the pictures, we came across the picture that we took during our very first Christmas, or at the Christmas season, we might talk a little bit about that. But it's hard to imagine that all those years ago that we did that, and which I shared with him at that moment. I said, "Well, that you know, had I not been willing to do the work, and had Anne not been, you know, willing to participate and do the work, that would have likely been our very last family picture together." So thankfully we've had plenty more since then, and we're wishing you the very best for your success in your own journey. So
exactly, Brian. I mean, that picture is very meaningful to me today, but I, you know, remember when I booked the appointment back then in 2000, actually, would that have been? Yeah, that would have been 2000. And I booked the appointment with the photographer. And I remember saying to our children, who were then teenagers, "You will come to the photographer and you will put a smile on your face, because you are the most important things, people in my life. And I don't know if we're going to be together after this, and I want to remember us together." And, but I'm happy to say that we've had many more beautiful holidays, and ones with lots of joy and with, our family more than restored. It's really not a part of our lives anymore. So there's hope, lots of hope. But the first, we've got 10 strategies for you. And the first strategy that we want to recommend is that now just put this whole affair recovery thing on hold. I know that for Brian and I, when the first Christmas came along, we were just over 6 months into our recovery, and we had been facing our issues head on. But remember that back then, there wasn't people like us to help people get through this. And so we had been doing a lot of fighting, and it was bad. And I remember thinking, we're just not going to make it. And I got worried that Christmas would become the time that I would throw Brian out and I would be done forever. And out of love for our kids, I just didn't want Christmas to become a memory of the time when mom threw dad out. And so I came up with this idea that we put the affair recovery on hold over the holidays and just try to get through it and not have any more of these difficult discussions. And of course, Brian, your thoughts on that when I suggested it
Well,
were.
I thought it was brilliant. I thought that was the best thing you ever thought of. Let's put this on pause now. I will just say, just be, so that you just to get this out there. There's a when we mean put it on pause, there needs to be a return to date established. So it's not like you just say, okay, we're going to just put it on pause and see how it goes. There's a return to the discussions and the kind of the recovery journey. So it's not like, okay, well, we'll just put on pause and maybe in March or April, if we need to, we'll come back to this. And I think Anne was very clear with me. She says, hey, let's put on pause. I was pretty excited. Then she said, but we'll, in the I think going after at that point when our kids went back to school, so kind of in the first that first week after New Year's, we decided that we would kind of re-embark on the process. So I think that's it's important to have a pause, but definitely have a return to date established, because it was important. And for me, and I'll just can I ask you, Anne, the same question? For me, it just was kind of one of those moments of refreshing, right? It was I mean, it was I'm not sure refreshing. It was just like I guess it might have felt like a relief, but it helped to, it, at least for me, it helped to see something that, I was able to see something within Anne and our work that was just different than what we had been going through. And so that was, that did give me a high degree of optimism around, where we were headed, even though it was pretty sketchy at that moment. So.
I think for me, the experience was similar. Did I want to put it on hold? Not really. Was I able to stop thinking about it? Well, I didn't think I would be able to, and I didn't, like, not completely, but I was able to focus somewhat on the holidays, focus on our kids, focus on enjoying the good things about you and the company and just what the Christmas season means altogether. And I did actually have a good time, which surprised me. And it was a relief to just stop fighting for a little while. And so I emerged on the other side of the holidays with a renewed sense of hope because I actually enjoyed myself with you, Brian. And that made me realize that we had something worth saving. And on the other side, the recovery took on a different nature, but it was definitely less volatile, and it was less intense. It was a much more hopeful at that point. So that is our recommendation to everybody: is wherever you're at in this journey, just put your affair recovery on hold over the holidays. Pick it back up on the 2nd of January or whenever you want to.
And I would kind of kind of lead so the next thing which we say is takes is use this time specifically, in these whatever week or two or whatever that works out for you. Use these times to make some deposits into the love bank your spouse has. I mean, it's time to do nice things for them. It's time to be thoughtful for them, time to spend some time with them, build them up at some level. I know that there's a tendency for most of us who have acted unfaithfully to be a little bit extravagant in some level of buying gifts and things like that, which has a purpose at some point, so long as we're not buying an extravagant gift to somehow earn back or buy back, forgiveness or love or anything like that. But just little things that are important. I mean, if you pay attention to your spouse, there's little things that are important to them that you can do for them that will increase, that will demonstrate that you love them. I know for me, one of the things that was important for Anne was that she likes to go for walks. Now, I like to go for a walk too if I have a purpose of going for a walk, which is to get something or to see a particular thing. But my wife likes to go for the walk for the walk's sake. Now, do I always want to do that? No, but it was important. So we would just, we would just go for, we would do that. And that built, hopefully, I think it will, it built deposits into her, love account that, that I had depleted because of my actions. So learn how to do things like that. I think it's important. So, it's just like that simple adage, just be nice to each other. I mean, just try that. It might just be kind of, what you need. It's treat them like they're not your spouse. That might be helpful. Whatever you need to tell yourself in order just to do loving actions in and do as many as you can for
Yeah,
their benefit.
exactly. That's a really good word, Brian. Just, treat your spouse, if you have to, like you would treat a stranger, because we have this weird way of treating an outsider as better than we treat our very own spouse. And to the betrayed spouses, if you're thinking like, he, she betrayed me, they, all those things, I'm not going to be nice to someone. I just want to appeal to you and ask you the question, like, what kind of person do you want to be? How do you see yourself? Because if we return hurtful, terrible, bad behavior with more hurtful, terrible, bad behavior, we really diminish who we are. And, in some ways, one might say that the person who acted unfaithfully has diminished themselves by doing this act that is with the type of people that we work is actually against their own core values and belief system. And so to respond in kind, just does the same for us as the betrayed spouses. So think about who you want to be and then be that person. And I hope the person that you want to be is a loving person of good character and high integrity. And, like the Bible says, if you only can love people when they're kind to you, what good is that? That's not extra special, but even love people when they haven't been good to you. So I encourage you to do that, and it will help you to feel better about yourself. Our third tip for the holidays is kind of the other side of that, which is, if it's don't say anything negative about your spouse over the holidays. If you're tempted to criticize them, just hold your tongue and say nothing at all, because the criticism is just going to diminish things and you're not going to get anywhere with it. It's not going to make things better. It's going to trigger arguments. So don't do it.
That's right. So once you talk about, the journaling, I know that's a little bit more within your purview as a journaler and writer. So why don't you just talk a little bit about that, and then want to kind
Yeah.
of set up the next
I guess
thing.
you don't really have a journal. That's true. So I've always been a journaler. That's true. And the strategy number four is, so if you have those struggles and you're dying to fight with your spouse and you're like wanting to get in there and tell them how rotten and bad they are and how much you hate them and you want to yell and scream over whatever is on your mind in that second, and here I'm telling you, don't be negative. I'm saying write it down in a journal instead. Write your struggles down. So for those of you who are rolling your eyes right now and thinking, I'm not going to do that, I just want you to know that I have had a lot of clients that I have coached through this who have exactly rolled their eyes, but the ones that make it have done what I've said anyways. And while they might not want to admit it, it actually does work. So whatever you're angry about, all of the things that you feel need to be dealt with, don't initiate the discussions right now about those hard things, but write it down. And then when the holidays are over, you can go back to your journal. It's not like you're going to forget about it, and you can look at those things. Now, I'll admit that, a couple of weeks later, you might realize that you may possibly have been being just a little bit reactive, and maybe that thing that seemed gigantic and huge in the moment isn't so gigantic and huge. Maybe you don't even want to bring it up anymore. I love what the Bible says, that it's an honor to overlook an offense. So small things like, I often tell people no one wants to be married to a professional nitpicker or fault finder. And I'm saying this because that is who I have been myself in the past. And so important things, absolutely, we bring them up. And so you journal it, and if it's important, it will still be important when the holidays are over, and then you can bring it up. So you're not overlooking them, you're not letting it go, you're just merely putting it on hold. So journal.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I'll just say that I'm a journaler, but my journal is wait, I have started a number of them. Sometimes they're even in leather and all of that real cool stuff. And I do really great for like 1 or 2 days, and then I'm like busy doing something else. So my journal is all on different little scraps of paper here and there. But the reason why that's important, and I think I think going through this, in the holiday season, it's really important to help. You need something to be able to readjust where you're focusing on, because sort of lead maybe leading up to this time, it's been pretty easy to focus on the bad that's happened, the hurt, the pain, the trauma, the shame, whatever that is. I mean, wherever you stand in on whatever side of the affair equation you stand on, or even on both, it has all those things. So it that hurt draws our attention there. So what we need to do is find some specific ways where we can refocus so that we don't see that. And one of the ways we do this, because I'm a little bit more this way now, I'm a notorious list maker, but I will jot some things down. And surprisingly, like I would have been like one of those that Anne worked with, that when you do them, it really actually helps. So one of the ways that you can readjust your focus is to create a list of things that that you are grateful for in your own life, or that you are that you're grateful for with your spouse, which could be some of their strengths and some of their abilities and some of their characteristics that you've found endearing over the time. But it's important, and but I do think, and I recommend, that you start first with the things about yourself, because that part of it can get in the way. It can hijack our ability to see the good in others, or to really value the good in others. We, you know, so if, you know, and for me, as the individual that acted unfaithfully back then, yeah, it was pretty clear that there, I didn't have a lot of really necessarily redeeming qualities out of the conversations that Anne and I had leading up, in that 5 or 6 months or whatever it was. There was not a lot of redemptive conversations about how, all the qualities that I had, that were good. They were kind of put on pause for a while, and they were very hard to see. And so, and sometimes when you're the betrayed spouse, you might might have been blamed or accused or criticized for all kinds of stuff. And sometimes that can be hard to see that too. So when you start looking for what's good about me, what are the qualities or some things that I like about myself or I'm grateful for, right? And sometimes just gratitude for things is, is important, like grateful for the kids that I have, grateful for the job that I'm in, that I'm doing, grateful for the health I have, grateful for the country I live in or the city I live in, or grateful for, right, the fact that the the capabilities I have, or the strengths or qualities or attributes that I'm, I have. It's important to pay attention to all those things and don't take them for granted, or don't diminish them, because that diminishes yourself. So think of, make a list of those things, and it doesn't have to be a giant list, though the longer the better, right? And the more specific, and frankly, you got to be very specific, even though you might start off in generalities, but try to be specific, because you start to see those things. And I know I was, just sort of, I don't know if it started then, but probably later at, we were doing this, and I started to have a journal of all these things that I was grateful for, things I was thankful for in my life. And I kind of started compiling them over the years, and I would kind of go to it and then stop it and then return. And I was thinking, if I could get to 1,000 things, I thought, oh, that would be really kind of cool if I could get there. But I'm not quite sure where it is. I'd have to actually dig that out. But I know that over the course of years, there was like, I was like around 700 things that I was thankful for and grateful for in my life. And so it does help. It does, it does a world of good when you can start thinking about, who you are differently, right? So you're not defined by your action or the action that was done to you. You're defined by, by what you're doing with the current circumstances, and so that's important. And then and really, the making the list of the your spouse's strong points and their qualities. For some of you that are listening, the list can be really long. For others, you might think there might be only one or two, and that might be, well, their strength is that they married me or they're still married to me. I get that, okay? But just start looking for a way, for the things that there are strengths in them, because that will just, it will change your perspective and change the way you look at them. And when you look at them differently, then you will actually act differently toward them. And so anyway, I'll just I could go on about that whole subject, but I'll just I'll maybe stop there and maybe get you to share or add to that, Anne, because that would be
No,
great.
I think it's really good. Like, I love what you're saying about gratefulness, strategy number five, and strategy number six about making a list of your spouse's strong points. Which, again, maybe the only thing I'll say is I know, and speaking from the person on the betrayed side of things, that, well, it's interesting because after it's like we're both on a healing journey. It's just that chronologically, it's not at the same time, because the person who acts unfaithfully is, as they get involved with their affair or unfaithful behavior, they're on this bad path, and they tend to rewrite their marital history, and everything good in the marriage they're making smaller in their head, and everything bad in the marriage they're making bigger. And it's a form of self-deception that is trying to give themselves permission. And now that it's disclosed, it seems like, the person who is betrayed sees their entire marriage as a lie, and everything as meaningless that happened, which is also a distortion, because I can tell you that your whole marriage hasn't been a lie. There's been lots of lies. Don't get mad at me for saying this, but it's a journey to discover all of it. But it just can be a really powerful thing to make a list of the strong points in your spouse and what attracted you to them in the first place. And just remind yourself that while what they have done by having an affair, being unfaithful, betraying you, is horrific and completely unloving and completely selfish, but a person is not their worst actions. That's not their entire being. So just remind yourself of that. The seventh strategy is to take a least as good care of yourself as you take care of others. So when you think about it, like what kind of kind things do you do for your children or for friends? And when was, ask yourself, when was the last time that you did something kind for yourself? Because you're a valuable person too. And if ever there was a time to treat yourself a bit, this would be it. Maybe you need to book that spa treatment or go have a hot bubble bath or take a day off and stop trying to please everybody because you can't and you're going to make yourself exhausted doing it. And I want to talk a moment about something really important that is often overlooked when I think about this bit about taking good care of yourself, and that's eating right, getting good nutrition in you, exercising, and getting enough rest. Because you are dealing with some of the hardest things you're going to deal with, and physiology matters, and a lot of fights that you might be having with your spouse. Even though you're going through this affair recovery and you think that's the only thing that you're fighting about, we have a saying in this work that the thing is not about the thing. Sometimes you are basically in a state of code red because you haven't eaten, or if you're only eating, food that's got no nutrients in it, you're undernourished, you're not able to function. And so it's the holidays. It's okay. Have your treats, but don't go crazy and get some exercise in between. Get out and get a walk or whatever you do. And don't live by how you feel because you can also act your way into a feeling. So when I think about exercise, when you're in a bad state, you might think, there's no way I don't feel like, getting out. But if you're serious about wanting to feel better and get through this, I can't tell you enough how powerful it can be to actually go exercise. So be active, do something, take care of yourself, is a good strategy.
Yeah, and I'll just kind of contribute to that. Given the holiday situation, family's over and entertaining and all of those things, I just kind of just say limit the amount of alcohol consumption that takes place, because you know what? That just gets in the way, right? I mean, they don't call it a being impaired for no reason. I mean, it's not just a being impaired when you drive, it's also being impaired when you talk and when you reason and when you try to solve problems. So just try to ratchet that back a little bit. Doesn't mean you can't have, a glass of wine or beer or cocktail or whatever that is. If that's your preference, then, but be careful that it's, you be careful on that. It will serve you well. By that. So,
Such a good word, Brian. And, because a lot of the arguments that couples have, there's alcohol involved and you're not resolving anything. So if you've been drinking, don't try to have affair conversations. Just
that's when you're taking. Yeah, and so there's, I do want to add something that's kind of not on our notes, but I wanted to jump in with that right now, just because because I can. So at 7 and at 0.7 and a half, I'll just say that one of the things that can be very helpful around this time is to try to minimize as many, don't try to do as many things as you planned. I would just say give yourself the freedom to be able to say no to things. You don't need to go to 37 different Christmas plays and 12 different Christmas parties and visit six different sets of in-laws and all of that stuff. Okay, just cut that back a little bit, because that will help you up. Because when we do all of these things, there's a there's in every planning event, there's potential for some level of disaster, some things that go wrong, some accidents take place, something to be disappointed about. So, and all of that stuff triggers some anxiety, right? I mean, just there can be just an anxiety just in planning all of that stuff, trying to figure out the logistics of getting across town with three kids or two kids, or trying to deal with one set of parents versus another set of parents, or whatever that is. That's just a huge amount of anxiety. And then there's, did I remember everything? Did we plan this? So all of that stuff triggers anxiety, and it causes, and then that triggers stress. And then when we are under stress, right, and we don't know how to manage that very well, though I thought I was a great stress manager, but my stress capacity, was so compromised because of all the stuff that led up to this. I really didn't have a good way to be able to deal with it, or a healthy way to deal with it. And so when we don't deal with stress very well, right, we make some poor choices, we make some bad decisions, we make some we do things that we often regret later on. So I would just say, try to just, it doesn't mean you can't do nothing, right? I'm not saying that in any stretch of the imagination, but don't need to do everything, right? Do you need to see three times the Nutcracker three times? Probably not. You know what's going to be there next year, right? You don't have to go, right? Will the school recital happen again next year? Probably. All of these things. Most of the stuff that we do, it's going to be that we can do it next year. And so the goal is to make it to next year, which and make it to next year in a much better place than you are today. So if you're doing it, if you got your schedule all mapped out, and you need an Excel spreadsheet to be able to kind of identify all the minutes, it would be good if you just kind of got rid of that, and or just delete a good portion of that. You will buy back some time, which then you can relax, right? And then you can, then you can begin doing some of these other things, because maybe you don't, if you're stretched all out, you have no time. I guess maybe dealing with the affair stuff, you might have no time to talk about that, but you don't have time to make the love deposit. You don't have time to journal. You don't have time to make a list, or to do all those things, right? So you don't have time to even eat properly, or rest properly, or exercise probably, because you're just too busy. And so the more you can just dial it back a little bit, right, just eliminate one or two things, will do you guys a world of good. And so that's I just want to add that in.
That's just such a good point, Brian. So our eighth tip for you is to take time out to meditate a few quiet moments before your day by starting to read something inspirational, and then prioritize your day around the things that are most important, rather than rushing around, doing the urgent things. And that can make all the difference. And you get to prioritize what's important. So for some people, that might be what I like to call my God time, a time of prayer, a time in the Bible. But for others, it could be a different way of meditating. But and even the discipline of some, and this is a discipline I use sometimes throughout, or I might just like interject it in the middle of a busy day. It's just taking 5 minutes to be quiet and by myself. So I might close the door to a room that I'm in, be alone, and I will sit in a chair and I'll set the timer on my smartphone for 5 minutes, and I will make myself sit there and just do nothing, relax, meditate. And it's interesting how hard it can be to sit for 5 minutes, because I've been known to jump up after 1 minute. It's like, oh, I should get that load of laundry in or some crazy thing like that. And then it's like, oh, right, I was sitting down, relaxing for 5 minutes. And I've also found that it's very, very surprising how much that 5 minutes can center me and give me like just a renewed sense of peace and grounding to continue my day. So there you go. It's a strategy for you.
Fantastic. That's great. And you're right, we get so easily distracted. We all chase the butterfly at some point. Point number nine, which is when you think of things you wish someone would do for you, do that for someone else, right? Like if we and really, I mean, right now we've got the Christmas season. And it's the time for giving, as the kind of the slogan goes, and all of that stuff is said to us. This is really a time that if you wish this was getting done for you, maybe you want to do that for someone else, right? Maybe you want to do something nice for someone else. Maybe you want to call them and just ask them how they're doing, and then ask, and then of course when they lie to you and they say they're doing great, because that's our obligatory response at this time of the year, and you say, no, how are you really doing? And then they're going to push back and say, no, I'm doing fine. This and you ask them the third time, no, how are you really doing? And at that point, that's important, because it's just wonderful. Like, I mean, or we complain that, oh, I wish somebody would come and see us. Well, maybe jump into your car, go and visit somebody, or whatever that is. It's just do for someone else what maybe you wish they would do for you, and that can be helpful. And so be thoughtful. It's just a time where you can just give, right? And which, of course, there's so many wonderful things you can do at this time of the year, right? As for most of you that are living in the Northern Hemisphere, right? It's a colder time. There's all kinds of needs that you can meet without it costing you a lot any money. It might cost you a little time, might cost you a little gas, to get to some of these places, but you can do a lot of things that can help someone else out. And when you start giving to someone else, it's surprisingly how much better one feels about yourself. So that's important. So I'll just kind of work on that.
Yeah, such a good tip. Our last and our final tip for you, number 10, is to laugh. Make it a point to have find a way to have some deep down belly laughs, and you might think, how in the world am I going to do that? And I'm going to admit it's not necessarily that easy, because this kind of overlaps with one of the things we tell people is when you're going through this, a lot of times you can't watch TV and you can't listen to the radio, because you all of a sudden start to realize almost every TV show and commercial is about an affair, it seems like. And the same thing with songs. And so Brian always likes to say the only stuff you can watch is,
Yeah, Ice Road Truckers and Duck Dynasty, and now I think both of them, I'm not even sure if they're all on reruns by now. And you would, but those are about the only two things that weren't where there's betrayal happening. So
yeah. And
maybe.
now, if you watch the new documentary movie, what was it called? The Blind, which is a good movie, but they reveal who they are. Since I wasn't a big Duck Dynasty watcher, I forget the names of the senior couple,
Robertson's.
the Robertsons, and what was the husband's name? You forgot to,
Oh yeah,
anyways.
no, there were Cy and
Anyways. The senior Robertson, the patriarch of the family, if you will. Well, that's almost a bad word in this day and age, but there was a period in his time where they're very honest about the bad guy he was so early in their lives. He'd had an affair. So if you watch that new movie about the Robertsons, you're going to find that out. Of course, the one really great thing about it is that they do painted as they it should be painted as a really horrible thing, and it can give you the hope they're another couple that got through it and built a legacy and a lasting family on the other side of it. So there's that side. But anyways, so I know that it's not like you can just turn on your TV and look for a comedy show and find something to watch. In fact, I find that most comedians greatly lack talent, and so they seem to make an effort to try to make up for their complete lack of talent by talking about vulgar sexual things as if we were little kids having to talk about farting or something. And it's like, really? But there are some good comedians out there, and that can be a way. And all I know is that, and sometimes you want to just look for the humor in like people, the humor in yourself. I mean, I can only think about like recent things. This past weekend, Brian and I had three of our grandsons over for the weekend. The youngest one is 5, and we were baking Christmas cookies together. The 5-year-old wasn't much help, but I found a job that he loves doing, which he doesn't get to do at his house because his mom only uses the dishwasher. But I fill up the sink with sudsy water and I let him do the dishes, and he has the best of times. And as he was faithfully going around wiping all of our cabinets off, and he said to me, "This is really hard work, but I enjoy doing it." So just a precious thing, but makes me laugh and smile to myself. So it's look for the humor in things. I don't know if you have some suggestions for people. Brian, you're so good at making me laugh
Yeah, I
anyway.
mean, I'm not really sure. I mean, how do how do you learn how to laugh? I think, lighting, there's humor in almost everything. If we look around, if we kind of look for it, I think we can see some funny things that happen. And I think it's okay to laugh. I think it is something that can feel a little bit uncomfortable because we don't necessarily feel like we should be allowed to be given the circumstance and what we're going through. We don't, shouldn't think we should have humor because it's often equated, laughing and enjoying oneself is often equated that everything's good. When in fact, I think it is really a real testament to a person's character and their maturity if they're able to laugh in spite of the fact that things are difficult. So, finding, just finding the, sometimes just the small humor in things that you see and observe and pay attention to. I want to be careful about recommending many things because some people might not like necessarily find my humor the same as theirs, or they might misinterpret that. But I think learning how to be able to laugh about something, I think it's important. And sometimes that's just a matter of remembering back some things that took place in your history, right? It can be in your history with your spouse or your sort of immediate family, or it could be remembering something that was funny that happened to you when you were younger. So whatever that is, you start to give consideration to look at that. I think that will be powerful. It will be helpful. We get hesitant to laugh because it's not natural for some. Some are, some are, let's look for, let's be a little bit more serious and they're not as lighthearted. But when we start laughing about a little thing, which we find a little bit humorous, okay, well, then we start to see more of it. And ironically, the more we learn how to laugh, the more we can enjoy ourselves. And really that allows for this time through the holiday season. It can speed by with a greater amount of encouragement, a greater amount of confidence, a greater amount of restorative work. And sometimes the work that one person can do, which is, we're often, well, what are the things I have to do? I would say at this point, right, as you're listening to this, sometimes it's just maybe not doing anything, which is just being able to enjoy oneself, to think about all the things you can be grateful for, all the wonderful, the fact that that we're celebrating that, for most of us that are of the embracing the Christian tradition of Christmas time, right? We understand that whole concept, and really that was all like a gift, right? It was started with a gift, and it was, and so we can be thankful and appreciative of that. And at best, you'd be thankful that you get a day off of work, unless, of course, you get sucked into retail, which, my heart goes out for you, or you have in a service industry, which, first, if you're a, caregiver or any one of these, service industries, thank you for your service for doing all of that. Because I get, I realize that doctors don't always get Christmas Day off, so, or any of those people like that. So, but you just learn to be thankful for the gift that you have, the gift of breath and life that we have, and so those are just some things that we want to encourage you with, and hopefully you will take some time to just relax. This would be about the only time we'll say on our one of our podcasts, hey, if it's okay if you don't listen to anything, or you don't go to our website, you don't kind of read something, that's what I would say. But so all I'll just say, as a sort of in closing for me, for myself, and I'll let Anne wrap up, is just, I am just proud of you for being willing to hang in here this long. Proud of you for being willing to listen. And I just want to encourage you that as you continue to, sort of determine that you're going to do the next right thing, your journey is going to become a lot shorter than you would have imagined. So I'm thankful for that, and I just wish you guys the very best of the holiday season, and we'll look forward to serving you on our next call.
Yes, thank you. Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. This is Brian and Ann Burcht signing out. We do seminars, coaching, and private intensives to help you. So we want to hear from you soon. We care about your story. And don't forget to check out our book, My Husband's Affair Became the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me. Our phone number is 360-306-3367. And again, that website is beyondaffairs.com. All right, stay strong.